Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, ninth chapter, text number 25. Sutuvacha Yudhishthiras Tad Akarnya Sayanam Sarapanjare Aprichad Vividhan Dharman Rishinam Chanushrinbatam Sutuvacha Yudhishthiras Tad Akarnya Yudhishthiras Tad Akarnya Sayanam Sarapanjare Sayanam Sarapanjare Aprichad Vividhan Dharman Aprichad Vividhan Dharman Rishinam Chanushrinvatam Rishinam Chanushrinvatam Sutuvacha Yudhishthiras Tad Akarnya Shayanam Sharapanjare Aprichad Vividhan Dharman Rishinam Chanushrinvatam Others? Vaishnavis. Bhaktas. Sutu Vacha. Sri Suta Goswami said, Yudhishthir, King Yudhishthir, Tat, that, Akarnya, hearing, Sayanam, lying down, Sada Panjare, on the bed of arrows, Aprichat, asked, Vividhan, multifarious, Dharman, duties, Rishinam, of the rishis, Cha, and Anushanvatam, hearing after. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, what? Okay. Did I miss something? Did I forget to do something? Oh, okay. Sorry. Translation. Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhishthir, after hearing Bhishmadev speak in that appealing tone, asked him, in the presence of all the great rishis, about the essential principles of various religious duties. Purport. Bhishmadev, speaking in that appealing tone, convinced Maharaj Yudhishthir that he was very soon passing away, meaning Bhishmadev was very soon passing himself. And Maharaj Yudhishthir was inspired by Lord Sri Krishna to ask him of the principles of religion. Lord Sri Krishna inspired Maharaj Yudhishthir to ask Bhishmadev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotee, like Bhishmadev, although apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadev. Another point is that Bhishmadev at the time was not only lying on a deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. In other words, he was in pain. One should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. Yudhishthir also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishmadev rather than ask anyone else present there who was seemingly more learned than Bhishmadev. This is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier, Lord Sri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. Om aginatamananda sya jananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakaramayam dadati swapadantikam. Okay, first thing. Is this loud enough? Because this is... It's good? Okay. All right, so does everybody know what the word momentous means? Momentous. Yeah. Momentous means very great, significant, important. So what we're hearing about here is what's called a momentous occasion. This is important. This is like a very important occasion. A momentous is... A typical, or no, more than typical, this is like an archetype momentous occasion. Bhishmadev, one of the greatest devotees in the history of devotees, is just about to leave his body. And what's happening, we're going to kind of review, we'll revisit the whole scene because it's a very amazing scene. And, you know, we've been going through it verse by verse, but sometimes it's nice to kind of refresh our memories. So the battle of Kurukshetra is finished. It's over. And the Pandavas won. And Maharaj Yudhishthir is kind of thinking to himself about what's happened. And, well, be honest with you, despite the fact that the Pandavas won, he's not too happy. He's not very happy about the whole thing. Why? Because he's reflecting, that so many people were killed in this battle, the number, the figure was given in some previous purport. Does anybody remember the figure that Prabhupada gave for how many people were killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra in the 18 days? What? Yeah, 640 million people. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was feeling somewhat, a lot, personally responsible. He was thinking like, the way he was thinking at that time was, just so I could be enthroned or installed as the emperor, 640 million people had to lose their lives. That's, he couldn't, you know, he felt very guilty about that. He felt, how can I justify that, you know? So much so that he decided, I have to go to the battlefield. And he didn't want to just brush it off. He wasn't trying to just, okay, well, anyway, I'll rationalize it. And he wanted to feel it. He felt like it was his responsibility to really not just, put it under the carpet. But so he decided, I'm going to go to the battlefield and have a look, you know, at what I'm responsible for, what's happened. So he got on his chariot and he started towards the battlefield. And his younger brothers, decided, okay, well, our brother's going, we've got to go with him, we've got to support him. In his moment of anguish, he was feeling great mental anguish and grief, and he was really feeling bad about this whole thing. And Lord Sri Krishna, he got on a chariot. Actually, he was on the chariot with Arjuna. No longer, I don't know if he was still the chariot driver at that point, but anyway, they're on a chariot. And also Vyasadeva, Domya, you know, a lot of great sages, and they all headed towards the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And when they got there, what they saw was Maharaj Yudhisthira didn't have much of an opportunity to kind of really reflect and lament any further, because they saw Bhishmadev lying there on the battlefield, described like a demigod fallen from the sky, and he was lying there on a bed of arrows. And that's significant. As Prabhupada kind of mentions that in the purport, because, you know, Kshatriyas, at least in that time, they were very chivalrous. There was no question of a Kshatriya running away from battle. Well, if he did, he was considered, that was it. That was a great disgrace. You were a coward. You would forget it. They didn't do that. What to speak of somebody like, even an ordinary Kshatriya, what to speak of Bhishmadev? So in other words, for Bhishmadev to be lying on a bed of arrows, those arrows would have had to gone right through his body, right? Because there's no question of that he got shot in the back, because, you know, they don't turn their back to the enemy. So those arrows had to go right through his body. So he's lying on a bed. I mean, it's inconceivable how he could be alive. Well, he had that benediction from his father that he would leave his body when he wanted to. What's it called? Ichamurti or something like that. So somehow or another, he was maintaining his life. He was staying alive despite the fact that he was like a pincushion. These arrows were going right through him, and he was lying there. I mean, you can't imagine how painful that must have been. So there he is, and other great personalities had already assembled there. It doesn't give a detail, you know, as to whether Bhishmadev stated, well, I'm going to leave my body now, or they just kind of figured it out or whatever, but all great personalities from all throughout the universe were there, many great sages, etc. Sukadev Goswami was there, it describes, and many, many, many others. The names were enumerated in earlier texts. So when they got there, and the Pandavas got there, Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas got there, and they, you know, they saw the scene, and immediately Maharaj Yudhisthira, followed by his brothers and Lord Krishna, got down from their chariot. And they offered their dandavats. You know, they paid obeisances to Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev, he had great presence of mind. It's described that he was able to, despite being in that very uncomfortable, to say the least, condition, he was able to welcome everybody appropriately. He knew how to speak, you know, and greet them and glorify them. And it was amazing, you know, as he did for all the sages there and the Pandavas as well. So when the Pandavas came, they were overwhelmed with grief in general, because Bhishma Dev was their grandfather, more or less, in the sense that, you know, he was there. He brought them up, and he was their well-wisher, and they loved him, you know, and it was just very difficult for them to see Bhishma Dev in that condition. And Bhishma Dev could understand that. And he started to speak to the Pandavas at that point. And basically, he kind of like gave a little, he gave a speech, he gave a little synopsis of their life. And you know, what he related, he said, well, you know, actually, you know, when you were very young, you lost your father and you were brought up and so many different, you experienced so many trials and tribulations, and not only you and your mother suffered, and he was very sympathetic to their situation, understanding all the different things they went through, and seemingly unfairly, unjustly. But he pointed out to them that, you know, my advice is negative. In other words, take it as this is all part of a plan of Krishna. You know, see it as there's some greater good that was behind all this. It wasn't pointlessly that you had to suffer like that. This is, Krishna had a plan. And at this point, he's talking directly to Maharaj Yudhisthira. So please understand that. Please accept what I'm saying. That, you know, take this whole, all these events leading up to this are part of a plan of Krishna. It's difficult for us to understand why it had to play out like this, but we just have to have, you know, faith that this was the best. This is what needed to happen. And now, you know, assume your responsibility as the monarch of the people, and, you know, perform your service. And that was, and then after that, he started talking about who Krishna was. And he started elaborating on that, and he basically was explaining to them. I mean, Krishna's right there, by the way. It's an amazing situation. But he's explaining to them and everybody else present how actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and although he's here, he's trying to play the. He's not trying. He is. He's playing the role of an ordinary person, but, you know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he glorified him in different ways, and he, you know, described Krishna's actual position. And then at the end of his little speech, he expresses how grateful he is that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appearing personally before him when he's just about to leave his body, so that, you know, to give him an opportunity to see him and remember him like that. And then he concluded. And it was a very moving speech, right? And, you know, nobody was sure probably what to do next. You know, here it is. You know, there's no formal guidelines for what you're doing. Like, you know, when we come here in the morning, we know first you sing this song, and then you do this, and then you do that. And we know what's going to happen from one second to the next. But, and probably everybody, you know, there's no, like, definite guidelines for what you do when a great personality like Bhishma Dev is about to leave his body. So I imagine there would have been, like, a moment of silence. And then Maharaj Yudhisthira was inspired, it's described in the purport, was inspired by Krishna from within to ask Bhishma Dev to speak about the principles of religion. See, the idea being that, and Prabhupada mentions this in the purport, that they wanted to reciprocate. See, this is not a business meeting. This is not a business meeting. This is all about these great personalities coming and exchanging love and affection. And that's what this is all about. And everything else is secondary. So, you know, here's the Pandavas coming to see their grandfather, who they love, about to leave his body, and Bhishma Dev is seeing them, and all these great, these people aren't strangers to each other. They know each other. They appreciate the exalted position of each other. They have personal relationships with each other. This is like thick, you know, the atmosphere is thick with love and affection among all these different personalities. And there, you know, the Pandavas, they're coming, and Bhishma Dev just gave his speech, and now silence. And then Maharaj Yudhisthira felt that, you know, inspiration from Krishna to ask about that. And despite the fact that Vyasadeva was there. Sukadeva Goswami was there. Lord Sri Krishna is there. I mean, you know, but he's asking Bhishmadev. And Prabhupada points out in the purport that, well, it was for the purpose of, you know, they wanted to glorify Bhishmadev. Okay, we want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from Vyasadeva. We don't want to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. We don't want to hear from his father, Vyasadeva. We don't even want to hear from Lord Sri Krishna. Please, we want to hear from you. Please tell us about the principles of religion. And they wanted to give him, you know, put him in the spotlight. Let's give Bhishmadev the spotlight here. He deserves it, you know, and we all are eager to hear whatever he has to say. So that's what we're up to here. You know, and Bhishmadev is going to, he's going to reciprocate. He's going to speak. And he's going to speak amazing. They're famous. You know, the statements Bhishmadev makes from this point going on through the end of the chapter are famous as, you know, being one of the most wonderful set of prayers within the Bhagavatam. a god brother of mine, I just mentioned this, a little side, but maybe some of you know him, Gopinath Acharya. Maybe he was a great book distributor, actually. And I remember he memorized these prayers. And I remember, I never learned them myself, but I remember walking down the street with him and he just rattling them off. You know, he just used to chant them. That was my first exposure to the prayers of Bhishmadev, just hearing him chant all the Sanskrit by memory, you know, as we're walking down the street. But anyway, so Bhishmadev's about to speak here. Prabhupada points out in the purport that, let's see if we find the exact sentences. So Krishna inspired him, even though the great sages were there, indicating that the Lord's devotee like Bhishmadev, though apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadeva. Hard to imagine how anybody could be far superior to Vyasadeva when Vyasadeva is, well, this was a controversial point from previous guests, but at least a Shakyavesh avatar. You know, I mean, Vyasadeva is about as advanced and exalted as you could possibly get. And Prabhupada's saying here that he was far superior. What's the point I want to make here? Oh, yeah. You know, I think a statement like this, you have to take it like this. There's the Siddhanta, and there's, I'm not sure how, there's the actual facts. And sometimes it's the feeling. And sometimes the feeling is more important than the actual facts. And I think this is an example of that because, you know, Vyasadeva, as I said, he's a literary incarnation of Krishna. How can anybody be far superior to Vyasadeva? But I think the point that Prabhupada is trying to make here is he's trying to, we want to glorify Bhishmadeva. That's what's important here. And yeah. Right. We want to glorify Bhishmadev, and we're going to do it even if it means saying something that on one level doesn't really even seem to be factual or it's okay. It's a higher principle. We're going to glorify this great, 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 pure soul and great devotee, Bhishmadev, like that. So Prabhupada goes here. Another point is that Bhishmadev was at a time, at that time was lying on a bed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. Just not only was is pointing out that not only was he lying on the bed of arrows, but he was feeling it. You know, it's not saying that he was like just oblivious. Prabhupada says here he was greatly aggrieved because of that state. And actually, one should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Sri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstances, a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak on the right way of life. And that's saying something. I mean, you know, can you imagine how amazing, how difficult that would be? You know, if you imagine you're in excruciating pain and you're expected to very calmly and coolly and intelligently speak in front of an assembly of highly, highly elevated saints and sages and the Supreme Personality of God himself. That must have been so difficult. But Krishna was inspired Maharaj Yudhisthira to ask that question because he was confident that Bhishma Dev could rise to the occasion and do it. And of course he did. And the modern day example of this same thing is, of course, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was, when he was in Vrindavan in his very last days, I couldn't help remember, there was this incident. You know, he was very, very thin. He was emaciated, actually. And the son of a devotee, I think his name is Devine Krishna, his father was a physician. And he went to visit Prabhupada. And as a physician, he could understand Prabhupada's condition. And he went in and to meet him. And when he came out, he was crying. And the devotees, you know, kind of were a little bit bewildered. What's going on, doctor? And he related that, you know, your Guru Maharaj, I could tell from seeing his condition what he must be feeling. He's so thin. His nerves are, you know, his bones are pinching his nerves, I think was the situation. He must be very uncomfortable. Very, you know, if not an excruciating pain. And yet when I came in to see him, he was asking me, how are you, Dr. Karandar, whatever his name was, you know, how are you? And he was crying. You know, he felt like, oh my God, here's this person. Must be so uncomfortable and suffering himself, and he's inquiring about my welfare. So Prabhupada demonstrated that same thing, that, you know, even though he was in such a very physically difficult, uncomfortable condition, he was still able to perform his duty. You know, he was still giving instruction on Krishna consciousness and being concerned about the welfare of the devotees. I mean, he was asking his servants, are the devotees getting proper prasadam, you know, like that. He was concerned. Is everybody comfortable? He couldn't have been more uncomfortable. And there was Prabhupada instructing and inquiring about as to the comfort of the devotees that were there in Vrindavan for, you know, for this, that occasion, his leaving his body. So, this is it's a very amazing thing. But the main point of this purport is how Krishna wants to see his devotees glorified. And Prabhupada goes on to say here that this is all due to the arrangement of the wheel carrier who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. And when I read that, I remembered a lecture I heard Prabhupada give. And I apologize, I neglected to note when and where, but I liked it so much that as my habit, when I hear something, I'll copy down a few words, and then I go to the Veda. Actually, this is before, I did this before the Veda base existed. I actually sat down and copied out, you know, transcribed that a certain section of this lecture where Prabhupada was talking about this same thing. And one very nice devotee, her name is Madri, Mother Madri. She's the, I don't know, I hope she's still alive and kicking, but she was the secretary in New Varshan in New Zealand, where I served for 5 years. And she kindly printed it out for me and laminated it for me. So to this day, I have it. And I'll read you what Prabhupada said on that occasion. He's talking about this same point, about how Krishna likes to see his devotee become more than himself. So Prabhupada says, Krishna took the part of the driver, is referring to Krishna and Arjuna, and he was the hero of the fight. Actually, Krishna was the hero, but he gave position to his devotee. You become the hero. I shall become your charioteer. That's all. So Prabhupada says, don't you see how Arjuna has become more than Krishna? Krishna said, Arjuna, you're hesitating to fight, but you do not know that all these persons who are assembled in this battlefield, they are not going back. They are already killed. That is my plan. You simply take the credit that you have killed them. That's all. And Prabhupada says, that he wants. So here's the point. Prabhupada says that he wants, referring to Krishna, just like a father wants a son to be more than himself. If a father is M.A., he wants to see his son M.A., Ph.D., or something more. He's satisfied. He'll not tolerate anyone to become more than him, himself, but he'll tolerate if his son becomes more than him. Crude example. Similarly, Krishna, the Lord, wants to see his devotees more than himself. That is his pleasure. He takes pleasure in that. See? So that's the point. That's what's going on here. Krishna's trying to show that Bhishmadev, because he knows Bhishmadev's love for him, so he's reciprocating, and he's trying to show that actually, as far as our feeling, as far as what we feel you're greater than all of us. We feel you're greater than Sukadev Goswami. You're greater than Vyasadev. You're greater than Krishna's feeling. You're greater than me. You know, we love you. And we want to glorify you. We want to put you in that exalted position. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what it's all about. That's really the essence of devotional service. Actually, just this morning at Mangalarti, I was in the back. And so I was able to see behind those partitions there, that these white partitions that Yogamaya and Savasprabhu were sitting in front of. And behind there, I was watching something that was going on. Mother Tulsi was there, and she was making a bouquet, I guess, for the deities. She's making up a bouquet. And Abai, little Abai, was there with her. So she's making the bouquet, and she's putting, you know, arranging the flowers, and she tied it up with a little whatever, one of those twisties. And she was basically was finished. You know, she finished the job. But Abai was there, and you know, he's watching his mother, and he reached on the table and he picked up a flower just like the ones that she saw him making the bouquet with. And he held it up, "Mommy, you know, here, just take this one, use this one," you know. And she'd already finished it. The bouquet was finished. She, you know, arranged everything. She put the twisty on it. She tied it. But of course, when he did that, you know, she said, "Oh, sure, okay." So she took the flower, and she loosened it up, and she put it in there. And see, you know, it was obvious. It was just, I was watching the scene, and it was just obvious to me that this was like, you know, an exchange of affection and love. The bouquet was finished. She didn't need his help, but he had love and affection. He was offering, "Mom, take here. I want to help. Take this flower, put it in there." And, "Oh, yeah, sure." You know? So it's like that between Krishna and the devotees. Right? Krishna doesn't need any help from any of his parts and parcels. But when they want to help, you know, when they have that loving mood and attitude, then Krishna loves it. That's what he's waiting for. That's what he wants. And he really appreciates that, and he reciprocates with that. And actually, this Krishna consciousness movement, I think, is an example of that. It's an example of that very principle. Me spelling it out, that Prabhupada was so sincere about wanting to execute the instruction of his spiritual master. Because Prabhupada had so much love, affection, devotion for his spiritual master, for, you know, the teachings, for the disciplic succession, for Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, and he tried so sincerely to spread this movement. And it, you know, as everybody remembers, at first he met with many difficulties. You know, it didn't happen just like that. You know, he struggled much before he even came here to America, and then even upon coming to America, he struggled for a year at least or so before anything of any significance happened. But at some point, you know, Krishna just decided, okay, here's my pure devotee. He's struggling so sincerely. He's trying to serve me so with so much love and affection. I cannot see him disappointed. I can't see him disappointed. So therefore, I'm going to have to inspire some of these malechas, yavanas, and lower to come forward and take interest in what he's trying to, you know, what he's trying to give them. And that's what happened. And that's my I don't know if it's correct to call it a realization, but that's my idea of how the Krishna conscious movement even exists. That it was, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna reciprocating with Prabhupada, who wanted so sincerely to spread the movement, and this is a reciprocation of love from Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, and that's the same idea. So, I guess I could stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah. They were at the
I really liked your class, especially the end of it that you were just mentioning. And I was just reflecting on in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in anxiety about how to deliver the yavanas. But Haridas Thakur tells him not to worry, and Srila Prabhupada makes the comment that this is service. And so I'm just thinking, you know, Prabhupada, everything that he did was in constant anxiety of how to fulfill the, how to free the Lord from anxiety. And in that same purport, Prabhupada explains that the devotee should actually take up the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when I think of Prabhupada's books, it's like an expression of his compassion for living entities, while simultaneously an expression of his own love for Krishna. And so that's what it was. That's a reflection from what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you. Nice comment. Anybody else, Maharaj?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. It was brilliant class. One simple question I have, that Gopinath Acharya Prabhu, the devotee you were mentioning, is that the same who is in Australia now?
Yeah, he left his body a couple of years ago.
But he was in Australia?
Yeah. Okay. That's that same devotee, yeah.
Thank you.
Amazing devotee. Amazing devotee. Vijay Prabhu.
Just a comment. Vidyananda Maharaj told me that the Mahabharata, in the Mahabharata, a huge portion of Bhishma speaking is the Mahabharata. He's like thousands. And we just hear a few verses here. But thousands. Maybe Maharaj knows how much. But you know about the Mahabharata too. Like a huge portion of the Mahabharata is his speaking while he's on this bed of arrows. So it's just amazing. Personality. I mean, like maybe days of, you know, hours and hours. I mean, I don't know about, maybe not days, but definitely hours and hours and hours and hours of speaking while he's in this situation.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anything? Well, I'd like to. Oh, one last thought. You know, I was listening to a lecture just recently, and I heard Prabhupada say that he was quoting that verse, Manushyanam Sahasreshu. So he's saying how, you know, that was. But he said, but Krishna said that 5,000 years ago, you know, out of many thousands among men, one may in their perfection. But he said now it's things have degenerated very greatly. And now he said it's Manushyanam Millioneshu. So, and he said, out of many, many millions of people, one may endeavor for perfection. So, you know, just it gives you the devotees are very, very rare. Devotees are very, very rare. It's very, very rare for somebody to come forward and want to be a devotee of Krishna. So I think it's a good idea to try to cultivate the bee mentality rather than the fly mentality. You know, Prabhupada gave that example, how the flies, they're always looking for the pus and the sores and the stool like that. Where the bees, they're looking for the honey. So we have to cultivate that mentality, the bee mentality, of trying to see the good qualities, and they're there. They got to be there. Otherwise, you know, somebody couldn't be here. I mean, if somebody's here in the Krishna conscious movement, they're getting the mercy of Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna. So there's something. Those personalities saw something good in that person. So we have to try to cultivate that mentality, appreciate, overlook the idiosyncrasies and the minor faults and defects, and look for the good qualities in the devotees. Yeah. Microphone, Maharaj.
Yeah, in this regard, I was wondering that some devotees bring up the argument that, you know, Prabhupada was very happy about certain things which were not right, and we have to criticize and condemn those devotees who do not follow strictly Srila Prabhupada, that, you know, bhakti have to be pure, etc., and they take it as their mission to kind of, you know, smash the devotees around if someone does anything which they perceive to be wrong, etc. So, what would you say about that one?
Well, of course, there's also another side to Prabhupada. You know, sometimes he was very encouraging and lenient and like that. It's the duty of the spiritual master. Yesterday morning, Suvas read about how, when he's reading from the Bhagavatam, you know, that Narada Muni, he was referred to as Bhagavan Narada. He was very powerful, and he could have immediately given Dhruva Maharaj whatever he wanted, the fulfillment of all desires. But Prabhupada said, but that is not the duty of the spiritual master. The duty of the spiritual master is to engage the disciple in regular, you know, devotional service, following the regulative principles, so he could get trained and purified like that. So that's the duty of the spiritual master to correct. He's got to be heavy sometimes. Sadhu means, you know, sharp like that. So that was Prabhupada's duty, but it's not necessarily our duty, so we have to be very careful not to imitate. You know, if you're not somebody's authority and you want to point out something to him, do it very tactfully, very diplomatically. If it's not the etiquette for even to say something to another person who is maybe on an equal level with that person, they could point it out. We have to be very careful in dealings with each other like that. You know, to be disrespectful. And that's off the top of my head, that's all I could say. Thank you very much. Gunsarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.